ladies, welcome back. This is one of the Just M segments where we kind of do a deeper dive into a passage of scripture in a not boring way. At least I don't think it's boring. So I'm hoping that it can help you know that you, in fact, can totally dig in to God's word and find all kinds of amazing things in there. My goal is that you not just wait on other people to tell you what it says and how you can apply it, but that by modeling this, you will go, oh my gosh, I could totally do that too. It's not that hard. Even Emily could do it. Yes? Yes. Okay, so this is the 14th one, and we have been going through John, and today we're in John 4, verses 46 through 54. So I'm going to go ahead and read that. Last week, we were talking about the woman at the well in Samaria. And he has left Samaria and heading to his region where he's from of Galilee. This is where in chapter 2 in Cana at the wedding, he changed water into wine. That was his first miracle. So now he's done some traveling and he's coming back to the same location. And we're going to see that he does another miracle. So this is John 4, verse 46. So he came again to Cana in Galilee where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, the servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them, the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that this was the hour that Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Okay, so that's all we're going to talk about today. So we see that Jesus has healed the official's son. Just a little context of what we're dealing with in the book of John so far. If you've been following along with the series, you'll remember that we saw Jesus sharing who he really was in chapter 3 with Nicodemus, who was a respected Jewish leader. Then we saw him sharing who he was with a Samaritan woman. The Samaritans were considered totally outcasts to the Jewish people. And not only that, this was a Samaritan woman who didn't even hang out with the other Samaritan women. And so she was like totally would not be considered quote unquote acceptable or worth anything. And so he shares who he is and his plan with her. And then he's sharing to a Roman government official. So really the takeaway to this is everybody's in the club. Jesus isn't here just for some people, certain people, good enough people, certain heritage of people. It's all the people. And very honestly, I think we just feel comfortable with people who are like us. And Jesus is, that's just not the way Jesus does things. I would say a strategy to struggle well, something I've really, this book has just touched my life so much lately. It's the new one by Bob Goff called Everybody Always. I got this book on Audible and I immediately bought the paper copy too because it's just that good. So it's the same type of thing. Everybody Always. But the way Bob talks about it is just completely winsome and just tear invoking. It's not a sad book, but it's just so touching. And it reminded me of this part of the story. So the official's son is sick and he asked Jesus to come heal him. In verse 48, Jesus says, unless you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. The you there is like the general Galilean you. He's just saying kind of like a you people or a y'all if you're from the South. Jesus is reluctant to do all the signs because if there's so many signs and wonders, you don't have to believe what he's saying. You can just see with your eyes, right? It doesn't require faith. So I can see where he's coming from. It's kind of like being a parent and my kids are constantly wanting me to do things and make it fun. And now where are we going? And what's next? And what are we having for dessert? And I just feel like, oh my gosh, you people are sucking the life out of me. Although Jesus didn't say that, it kind of feels like, oh my gosh, all you guys want is signs and wonders. So seeing this kind of helps me be a little bit more patient with my kids. Because honestly, it's human nature to want things easy, to want things quickly, to want things in front of your eyes and explained and solid, something you can count on. But it's also convicting to me because I have to admit that I really love when God shows up with some signs and wonders. I gotta be honest. I don't want to work with God on depending him to help me be more joyful in my life. I don't want the fruits of the Spirit to come slowly through painful growth as I depend on Him. I want them to just go ahead and come if that's fine. I want to just not be so moody. I just want my rough relationships to be ironed right out. I want to miraculously stop craving Nutella right away. So it's easier if He'd just go ahead and throw some miracles my way. Thank you very much. But that's not what it's about. It's about dependence, and it's about keeping our eyes on Him when don't nothing make sense. So demanding signs and wonders is the opposite of faith. God is not a genie, right? So maybe this week we struggle well by taking Him at His word without needing extra special proof, because really all the proof from before, everything in the Bible, everything that He's ever done in our lives up to this point, we can look back on those things and remember that He's good. Because He was good then, He doesn't change. That means He's good now, yeah? And side note, if you are listening to this and you are still kind of figuring out your faith, that's totally cool. Welcome, and we're glad that you're here. If you can't look back on your life and go, that was God, that's when God showed up, that was kind of a miracle and wonder that He did in my life, ask a Christ follower around you, especially one of the crazy ones, because they've probably experienced some like super awesome things. So ask them. They'll be happy to tell you, and they'll just give you some stories of what God has been up to. Okay, so verse 49, the official asked Jesus, okay, please come to my house before my child dies. He has faith that there's something about this Jesus guy that could fix my kid. But he does not understand just how powerful Jesus is. He does not have to physically be there. He can heal him from across anywhere. Let's just talk real quick about that. This week, maybe you struggle well by taking a really honest look at what you actually gut level honestly believe about God's capabilities. What do you honestly believe about His heart attitude towards you? So many times we ascribe physical limitations that we have onto God. It's like when my son is like super amazed when I can add 100 plus 100. And I'm like, I can even add 200 plus 200, buddy. Let me blow your mind here. It's 400. He thinks what I'm doing is so amazing. He has no idea that I can even multiply, you guys. He's assuming that I get stuck in math where a six-year-old like him gets stuck in math, right? So let's not limit God the ways that we're limited, physically or even emotionally. Sometimes we give God the attitude that we actually have. So we think He is mad at us because we might be mad at Him, or maybe we're mad at our spouse or whatever. So if we tend to be like a little frustrated, we think God's frustrated, or we're disappointed, so we're pretty sure God's disappointed. But ladies, God's eyes towards us are kind. God is in a good mood, even when we're not. Even when we're snappy, He's patient. So let's not put on Him things that we actually are. Okay, so in verse 50, Jesus says, go, your son's gonna live. So this is so amazing to me. The guy just left. He went ahead and believed and went back home. That would be so hard. If I felt like my one shot at having one of my children not die was this guy, and the guy just said, yeah, go home, it'll be fine, I would say, okay, but like, if I go home and he's still sick, well, what am I supposed to do then? Are you going to be right here? Can you just come for a second? Like, what if you thought you healed him, but you were like out of range, you know, and so it just like fell a little bit short? Like, what's my plan B here? But he didn't. He believed, and he turned around and went home, believing that his son was going to be healed. That would be so hard. But he goes along, the servants come, and they confirm, yes, your son got better at the exact moment when Jesus said that he would. So then it says something interesting here. It says the man believed. But if you look back a couple verses before at verse 50, it said the man believed. So this tells me a couple things. Number one, believing things can happen over and over. I mean, it kind of does. We are kind of like Dory from Finding Nemo, where she forgets every couple seconds what's going on. And we think, oh, you're so cute. But when we do it, it's not that cute. I think we can all understand this, too, because we think we've believed something and then it gets a little shaky, or we get a little tired, or we just kind of get amnesia and we have to re-believe, right? We have to remind ourselves. That's why community is so important, because we are not always that smart at remembering what's actually true. But the other thing it tells me about belief is that he believed enough to turn around and go home and believe that it would be better. So there's a lot of belief there. But now, once he has like this confirmation that, no, not only is he's better the minute that Jesus said he was better. It's kind of a confirmation that, wow, now I believed before, but now I have this experience attached to it. It's like Before it was in primary colors, now it's like vivid technicolor. I believe, and there's like a substance to my belief now. I've got experience to back it up. So that's what I was saying earlier. If you are just still figuring out if you even believe, talk to somebody who has belief with the experience to back it up, because that's really powerful. So let's talk about leading our family to the Lord, because it says he believed and so did his household, so did his servants, like everybody under this dude believe now because of this one incident. So let's think about our kids. Let's think about our husbands. They might believe, and maybe they believe and have experience and y'all are just solid, and that's great. I hope that's true. Maybe you have members of your family who believe, but they haven't seen the big substantial things where they go, oh, this is where God did this amazing thing in my life. But you having the faith and the experience to back it up, that's obviously powerful. He believed and had experience that backed it up, and everybody in his household believed as well. So maybe this week you struggle well by being that mom who speaks it out, the things that she believes. See things with your kids, with your family, with your finances, with your job. See things with eyes of faith, with your hands lifted in praise. Maybe not actually literally. I was raised Lutheran. We would never do something like that. But we can have eyes of faith and believe and have that strength and that conviction. Or we can see the situation with eyes of worry and unbelief, and we can feel kind of like orphans in some way that he's not actually got our back. And when he says something, it didn't actually take the first time. So we can be the frightened mom wringing her hands in the corner, calling it prayer, but really it's worry. We've all been there. At least I certainly have. I'm pretty sure I was there a couple days ago. So there's no shame for being there, but we have a choice. So this week, let's struggle well by being the moms who believe, recalling back all the things that we've experienced that God has done. Okay, let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, you're good. You're better than we know. Thank you that you don't just do whatever we ask, because you're not a genie. And I frankly wouldn't want to serve a God who just was there to do whatever I wanted. Thank you that you are wise. Thank you that you're powerful. And thank you that you are beyond able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask, think, or imagine. God, this week, I pray for these listeners. I pray that they would see things with eyes of faith, that they would recall all of the things that you've done in the past for them. God, that they would rely on one another if they have forgotten what you have done, if they have lost sight of the vision, or if they've lost their way. God, for the ones who are having just some traumas going on with things like illness, like in this case, or financial stuff, or marriage stuff, or our own bodies are breaking down in ways that are incredibly discouraging. God, I pray for healing. I know you can do it. And in the meantime, I pray for faith, even before it happens. God, would you help us to see you the way you actually are, and not to see you the way that we are. Thank you that you are way better than we are. Thank you that you love us, even though we're a mess. In Jesus' name, amen.